Yourself comfy. Make yourself at home. Thank you, God. Well, I'm excited about Christmas. God is good. His word is good. And I love this time of year. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Hallelujah. I want to minister tonight on seven Christmas gifts from Jesus. Seven Christmas gifts from Jesus, and we'll go quick. Hallelujah. They're going to be seven. They're going to be quick to unwrap. Just like on Christmas morning. You don't take too long to open those presents. Hallelujah. You just tear into them. I love Christmas. I had a big family growing up. I had a great family. Had a great relationship with both my parents. And for us, Christmas time was just wonderful. It was awesome. And I just figured everybody celebrated Christmas the same way that our family did, and I grew up and found out not everybody did. But some of the traditions that we had, I thought were really neat. And I thought, I want to continue those family traditions. And one thing that we did, of course, we had the Christmas tree, and we had the lights, and we had the tinsel stuff that you put on there, all those, you know, the stringy hair-like metal things, you know, they get everywhere, all in your carpet and all over everything, especially if you have kids. And there'd be presents and stuff all under the tree. But I remember as a kid getting up early in the morning. I mean, you get up early, early and just go sit on the couch and just look at the tree and just stare at it. And then one morning you'd wake up and you'd get in there and you'd just look at the tree. And you'd see presents all of a sudden that just appeared under the tree. And so you'd get real excited. Whoa, there's presents under the tree. And I tell you, my sister Bethany was the best about knowing every present under that tree. And she would know who every present was for. And if you came in, if she woke up before you, she would come to tell you, oh, you've got a new present under the tree. Oh, I do, really. She would show you where it was. That was her thing. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus has some Christmas presents for us. Amen. He's got some good Christmas gifts for us. And one thing I like, too, about the way my parents did it was Dad would open the gifts. He would decide when we did it. Sometimes we would do it mostly on Christmas Eve, but we didn't know exactly when. And so we'd be asking Dad, come on, Dad, can we open the presents? Can we open the presents? Can we open? He'd say, not yet, not yet. And then when he was ready, when the time was right, he'd say, okay, come on, we're going to open Christmas presents. Then he would come over to the Christmas tree and sit down. We'd all get around in a circle and sit down. And I have eight brothers and sisters. At that time, I had five total kids in our family. And Dad would pray. Dad thanked God for everything. And when we would have something neat or a gift or a present or food even, at a good dinner, we would say, thank you, Mom, for dinner. And she'd say, don't thank me, thank your dad. He worked for the money. And then Dad would say, don't thank me, thank Jesus, because if it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to have the money to do this. So we were always thankful to Jesus for everything. And I like that tradition. And I keep that in my house and for our kids. I say, let's make sure we thank Jesus for everything and be thankful for everything that we get. And so we'd sit down and Dad would grab one present and he would look at it and he'd see whose name was on there. Of course, Bethany already knew. But he'd say, oh, this says Daniel. Here you go, Daniel. And he'd give me two Daniel from Jesus. Hallelujah. Or from Mom and Dad or whoever. So he'd give it to me and everybody would watch as you opened your present. We'd open one at a time, which made Christmas last a little longer. I don't know if it's because we had less presents and it made it last longer or what. But I tell you what, I think it was really good because what we did was as each one would open a present and we would all watch, we would all celebrate with that person with what they got. All right. And we'd all be excited for that person for what they got. And we'd say, oh, that's awesome. Wow, look what you got. That's great. And we'd get excited. And then Dad would pull out another present. He'd say, oh, this one says to Billy. So then Billy would get a present. And then we'd all watch him open and we'd all get excited. And you know, I realized years later that taught me to get excited when other people get blessed. Instead of getting jealous or mad or upset or, wait, where's mine? It taught you patience because you knew mine are under there. He's going to get to them. And God's got presents for you. And you might be watching other people open their presents and thinking, where's mine? Celebrate with those people. I'm telling you, celebrate with those people that are getting great things from God because you're next. I was in Bible college one year, and a lady that was a good friend of mine, I sat right next to her every day in Bible college. And one day she came up to me, and I had a pretty bad car at the time. I had a pretty bad car for many years. Different ones. And I had a particularly bad car at that point. And this lady came in, and she was so excited. She said, guess what I got? I said, what'd you get? She said, I got a BMW. I said, whoa, awesome, a BMW? She said, yeah. I said, I want to see it. Okay, come on, after a Bible college during break, we'll go look at it. I said, okay, awesome. So we go out there, and I'm looking at it. I said, oh, man, it was a pretty car. It wasn't brand new, but it was nice. It was in good condition, beautiful car. She was excited about it. I said, whoa, look at you. And I'm slapping her high five. Man, you are blessed. That is awesome. And, you know, the thought came for a second. Well, boy, I sure wish I had a nice car like that. You know what I'm saying? When somebody comes and shows you what they got blessed with. But I believe because of Christmas, I have learned, be happy and be excited when people get something great. And so I got excited for her. Well, it was maybe a few years later. A few years later, I had just met Ashley Kraft. Actually, at that time, Ashley Pugh. Well, the first time I ever asked her name, I said, I'm thinking, oh, I don't even know her last name. It must be something beautiful. And so I asked her, sitting right there, I said, what's your last name? And she said, it's Pugh. And I was already ready to say, oh, that's a beautiful name. And I go, and I said, you mean like a church pew? And she said, no. And she said, I know, I got teased as a kid all through life. Ashley Pue is what they called me, P-U-E. But in French, it's actually Pue. Yeah. But anyway, I had just met Ashley, and this lady gives me a call. I hadn't seen her in a while. She gives me a call and says, hey, do you remember that BMW that you loved so much? And I was thinking, what? She said, yeah, that BMW you just thought was so awesome. I said, yeah, I remember that. The one you got? Yeah. She goes, I want to give it to you. I said, what? She said, well, I knew how much you liked it, so I just wanted to bless you with it. And I thought, you know, it wasn't that I liked it so much as I was excited for her. You know what I'm saying? And what a perfect timing that was. That gift could not have come at a better time because I was able to call Ashley up. She lives about an hour away and say, somebody just gave me a BMW today, and I thought I would try it out, and I thought I might drive out there and see you. So I did. I drove up in this BMW, and her parents thought I was pretty good. Oh, he's got a Beamer. And I was like, yes, of course. What else would I have? You think I'd have an old beat-up Ford hippie van? That's what I had before. Anyway, Jesus has Christmas gifts for you. And that's so exciting to think. And he has some gifts that he wants us to open tonight. And if you didn't have a great family life at Christmas time, I'm so sorry. If you have some bad memories about Christmas, I'm sorry. If your parents didn't do it maybe that way, or you think, man, that'd be a great way to do it, I just encourage you, start right where you are. And say, okay, well, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. From now on, we're going to start having some awesome Christmas traditions, and we're going to put Christ back in Christmas. Amen? Do that in your home. Do that in your family. Put Christ back in Christmas in your home. Somehow. You pray about it and ask the Lord what he'd have you to do. But the first Christmas gift, seven Christmas gifts, one is God's Word. Jesus gave us his Word. And we're going to open the gift tonight. Amen? We're going to open it. I want you to turn to John chapter 13. And he's given us, actually, there's two gifts in here. One is the older gift, the old covenant, the old commandments. We have the law, the Ten Commandments. You know, the only problem with those, that gift was that it got broke. You ever broke a gift? Moses broke the Ten Commandments before he ever opened them. God just gave it to him and said, hey, I carved these things, man. I carved these things out of rock. I engraved them for you. Here you go. Merry Christmas. And Moses gets mad because the people are sinning and bam, smashes it. And God says, way to go, Moses. Okay, I'll give you another one, but you carve it this time. I'm not carving it again. You carve it out of stone and I'll just write it. And Moses said, okay, God. And had to give him those. But again, those commandments were broken. But John 13:34, the gift of the New Testament or the new commandment has been given to us. It's a gift. John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The next verse says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So it's important to love your family, love your brothers, love your sisters. And I know, especially around Christmas time when we've got extra family coming in, or you're going to meet family and there's sometimes close quarters and you're with people that you didn't get along with when you were kids, much less now. It's time to love your brother, love your sister, lay down your weapons. Lay down your weapons. Quit fighting. Because when you fight, it shows people. When you don't love your brother, it shows them that you are not a follower of God. He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So when you love people, even when they're unlovely, it shows, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. And they know that. And you kind of tell on yourself when you don't walk in love. Say, oh, I'm not following Christ right now. So Jesus has given us His Word. Number two, Jesus has given us His blood. Matthew 26:28. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Thank God for the Christmas gift of His blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I love to see the Christmas tree over there. Not that one. I'm talking about that one. Hallelujah. What an awesome gift. The Christmas tree. His blood that He's given us. The present that He put on that cross. He shed His blood for us. What a gift. No greater gift. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, this is my blood. I'm giving you my blood. Number three, Jesus has given us His faith. Galatians 2:20. Jesus has given us His faith, and His faith is how we live in this flesh today. That's how we live. We live by the faith of the Son of God. He's given us a gift of faith. Galatians 2:20 says, and this is Paul talking, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which I think it's interesting, he said it this way. The life that I now live in this flesh, he's not talking about the spiritual life. He's not talking about someday in heaven. He's not talking about anything except this life that I now live right now in this flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not the faith in the Son of God, but faith of the Son of God. Amen? Isn't that right, Gary? Hallelujah. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's a gift that He's given us that we live by. And His faith is a gift that we need now. This life that I now live in this flesh. We don't need it someday over in heaven. We don't need faith someday. We need it now. And His faith is designed to help us in this life. And you shouldn't throw away the gifts that Jesus gives you. Don't throw away your faith. But keep it. Keep the faith. That's something they used to always say in the early church. Keep the faith. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away that Christmas gift because it's useful. Revelations 14:12. He says, here is the patience of the saints. I love that word, patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Keep the commandments and keep the faith of Jesus Christ. And we need faith now more than ever in our lifetime. Don't wait to open that package from Jesus. Have you ever got maybe at Christmas time, have you ever got a Christmas sweater or something? And on Christmas Day, you open it up and it's a Christmas sweater and you're thinking, boy, I sure could have used that earlier this month. And you put it on, and then after Christmas, you put it back in. You don't wear it again till next year. Man, if you're going to give somebody a Christmas sweater, give it to them the beginning of December so they can wear it as they need it. And that's what Jesus has done. He's given us His faith. And He says, you need this now in this life, not just in the life to come, because you won't need it then. You need it now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now faith is. Every great man or woman of God lives by the gift of faith. And a gift will do you no good unless it's received. You've got to receive these gifts that I'm talking about. If you don't receive them, how will you ever use them or appropriate them in your life? I was thinking about when I was in fifth grade, we had a teacher, my favorite teacher of all time, Mrs. Beasley. Let me tell you, teachers, if you're wondering, do I really make an impact on my kid's life? I guarantee you, you do. May not always show, but I guarantee you, you do. Fifth grade, Mrs. Beasley, I'll never forget her. She gave us all these Christmas pencils. And I had one that had a little moose head on it. It said, Merry Christmas on it. Merry Christmas. And I had my pencil. I thought that was so cool. But there was another kid in the class. He was mad at her for some reason. And for whatever reason, he took her gift. And he was mad at her, so he snapped her pencil in half. That gift that she gave him, he was mad. So to get back at her, he just snapped that pencil right in half. And I remember standing there and just looking at him thinking, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Why would you break or smash or snap in half a gift that is given to you by somebody that loves you and cares about you? It was immature. It was just human nature, though. We can learn a lot about human nature from watching kids, because they're just bundles of flesh that has to be trained. Amen? And you can say, oh, I see, that's human nature. We have a new nature. And I've seen a lot of grown adults take the gifts that God give them and just snap them in half because they're mad at God for whatever reason. Don't get mad at God. It doesn't hurt Him. It only hurts you. You're the one without a pencil. And sometimes around Christmas time, you see a lot of people, they're snappy. But again, they're only hurting themselves. And if you get snapped, hallelujah, just know, hey, I'm a gift from God. Hallelujah, I'm a gift from God to you. And if people snap you in half, don't worry about it. Well, thank you, God, I'm a gift. That brings me to my fourth gift that Jesus has given us. Jesus has given us ministers. Jesus has given us ministers, the number four gift here. I know there's so many more, I couldn't possibly name them all. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore He saith, this is talking about Jesus, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. Jesus gave gifts. What are the gifts that He gave to men? Ephesians 4:11. And He, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. So we see our pastor as a gift from God to us. And we are so thankful for our pastor. Thank God for our pastor. Thank God for the evangelists that He sends in. Thank God for the prophets, the teachers. Thank God for those things. Thank God for those ministry gifts that He sends us. The prophets, the evangelists, the teachers. Every fivefold ministry gift is important. And it's a gift from Jesus to us. It says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. God wants you to be perfect. For the work of the ministry, He wants you to work. For the edifying of the body of Christ, He wants you to be edified. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. He wants you to be unified. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants to tell you more about Himself through these five ministry gifts that He has given you. And don't be snapping them in half. Amen? It says, until we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there is a goal in our walk with Jesus. And we should all be striving for that goal. We should all be reaching for that goal. And that goal is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Perfection. You're saying, what? We should be striving for perfection? Yes. To be more like Him, to know Him. Not that we're perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. No one's perfect, but we're striving for perfection. We want to know Him, and the more we know Him, the more we can be like Him. And He is our goal. Amen? Jesus is my end zone. Amen? Jesus is my finish line. He's what I'm racing for. You got to have a goal in life. Come on. Jesus is my home plate. And that's when I know I'm safe. When I get home. He's a target that we aim at. Guys love to hit a target. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, aim. Set your sights on Jesus. While we look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are unseen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're looking to Him. We're keeping our focus on Him. You can't shoot something you're not aiming at. You can't be looking over here and hit something over there. Even Annie Oakley had to have a mirror. You got to aim. You got to see it to be able to hit it. So Jesus has given us ministers to help us to do these things. And we thank God for those. Number five, Jesus has given us hope for the future. He's given us hope. What a gift He has given us, a hope for the future. Romans 8:24 says, this hope is what saves us. But if we already have what we hope for, there's no need to keep on hoping. However, we hope for something we have not yet seen, and we patiently wait for it. Again, there's the patience aspect of Christmas. As a kid, it seemed like 25 days was the longest month of the year waiting for Christmas. In fact, I still use that phrase, man, that is slower than Christmas. Because as a kid, there was nothing that came slower than Christmas Day. And then we had to accentuate how slow Christmas was. Mom gave us a calendar thing with a sucker on it for each day. And so then we would be able to get one sucker every day. And we'd look and go, let's see, 24 more? Oh, man. So you'd eat your sucker. I'm surprised they even have teeth after that. A month of suckers. But waiting and waiting and waiting. But hey, that's Christmas. You wait, but I guarantee you Christmas is coming. No man knows the day or the hour. But we patiently wait for it. And the gift of hope says there's more to the gift of Jesus than we have even seen and experienced. There's a lot more than we even know about. Amen? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And as we are getting presents ready, as you're going about your shopping and thinking, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for Samuel to see this. I'm excited about this. Oh, he's going to love it. Oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see his face when he opens it. That's what Jesus is doing right now for us. He says, oh, I'm getting this ready for them. Oh, they're going to love this. It's going to be so awesome. He's putting it under the tree. It's paid for. It's not on layaway. And I get excited. You know, there were some times whenever all the presents would be gone, and I would think, oh, you know, I didn't get too much this year, but that's okay. And Mom and Dad would say, but wait, there's another present. What? There's another present. It wouldn't fit under the tree. It's too big. What? Ooh, it must be really good. It's too big to even be able to bring it under the tree. It's too big to even see. Man, that's how Jesus is. And we patiently wait. I'm telling you, your eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor even entered in the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for you. Only by the Holy Ghost can you know that. Only by the Spirit. Not in this natural world, but I mean, thank God for the things we get in this life, but for the life to come, you just wait. There's going to be some gifts that are too big to fit under a tree. He's going to have to take you outside. He's going to have to take you to another world to show you all the gifts that are yours as a result of Jesus. Woo! We have hope. I'm telling you. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. He said, if this is the only thing there is, man, this is terrible. We're doing all this for nothing. But we're not doing it for nothing. It's not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Paul prayed for the church in Thessalonica. He prayed for them all the time. And he said this in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Notice there's three things he says I remember about you. Number one, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So remember, number one, their work of faith. And faith is made to work. It's like getting power tools or cookware for Christmas as a kid. You're like, ooh, I can do stuff with this. And it's assumed that, hey, you're going to do something with this. You're going to do something with this cookware that you get for Christmas, right? You're going to cook something. You get power tools, you're going to build something, right? Well, God's given us gifts to do things with. And so he remembered their work of faith. And God works with those who work. Did you hear that? God works with those who work. God can't work with those who won't work. Mark 16:20 said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So as we work, God works. And as we put our hand to the plow, God helps us. And God begins to work also. And it's exciting. So we remember their work of faith. Number two, we remember their labor of love. And love will labor. If you love somebody, you'll work for them. You'll work with them. You'll do whatever you can. At Christmas time, my grandmother, she loved us so much, she would always make us these, crochet us these little stocking feet things that we had put on. And they were made out of yarn. And so when you walked on linoleum, they were like the slipperiest things ever. And we just thought that was cool because it was like having ice skates. And the way we were growing, especially as boys, we would outgrow them so fast our toes would be sticking out by next Christmas. We'd need another pair. So grandmother would crochet us another pair. Her labor of love. And I know she put so much love into those things. And God said he is not going to forget our labor of love. And Paul said, I remember about you, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope. And the patience of hope is how we receive the Christmas gifts from Jesus. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget, here it is again, your work, your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. But look, here's hope again in there. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So keep working. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. Again, there's faith and patience again. We inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. That's a promise of God. We're Abraham's seed. We're children. He's the father of faith. So in that sense, we're the children of Abraham, as we believed. And therefore, if God gave that promise to Abraham, it's an inheritance that we have. Surely blessing, God will bless you. Surely multiplying, he will multiply you. That is a Christmas gift that he has for you. But look at the next verse here. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So there's going to be some patient endurance that's going to take place. If Father Abraham had to have patient endurance, how much more will we have to have it to get the same thing? And those that who stick with it, you will obtain the promises. And happy is the person who God says, you've been patient long enough. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for God to say, Dan, you have endured long enough. It's time. It is. God's the one who decides, not us. Don't abort the mission. Don't give up. Don't say, I can't take it any longer. And just start tearing open presents. That makes a bad Christmas. Trust me. Not that I would know from experience, but how long till Christmas? Jesus says, soon, soon, and very soon. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus' last words that were written to us in Revelation 22:12, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. In verse 20, it says, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. How long? When is Christmas? Soon. I'm coming quickly. Just enjoy your sucker for today. Because it's almost Christmas. Because Jesus Christ is coming to town. Hallelujah. The gifts that he's given us on the Christmas tree are precious. They're priceless. He is the light of the world. He's the bright star on top of the tree. Number 6, almost in here. Jesus and our Father God give us the good gift of the Holy Ghost. Another gift of Jesus. Number 6, he gives us the good gift of the Holy Ghost. Luke 11:10 says, for everyone... Everybody say, everyone. Everybody say, that's me. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it may be, might be, hopefully it'll be open. No, it shall be opened. If you knock, it's a promise from God. Keep on knocking. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19 all say that all people got filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues. It didn't say that some of them got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And I know some people have this mentality, well, Jesus wants to give these gifts. God wants to give these gifts to some people, but he might not want to give me the gift of tongues or to be able to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, he did in Acts chapter 2. He gave it to everybody. He did in Acts chapter 10. He gave it to all of them. In Acts chapter 19, he gave it to all of them. What kind of person would invite you to a party and then say, I'm giving everybody except for Teresa a gift? And you say, well, you know, that's just the kind of boss he is. That's just the kind of man Dan is. He's kind of mean like that to me. God's not that way. Come on. Even man isn't that cruel. Jesus and God will give to all men who ask. He's no respecter of persons. But there is a Holy Ghost-shaped present under the tree with your name on it. Luke 11:11 says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No, that's crazy. That's child abuse. If you then being evil compared to God, know, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does our Father in heaven know how to give the good gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to those who ask him? He said the Holy Ghost is a good gift. If we know how to give good gifts, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does God know how to give good gifts to us? And will he if we ask him? And if you got a bad gift, let me tell you something. It didn't come from God. Somebody slipped a package with your name on it, and it wasn't from God. You might need to check the handwriting on that one. It's probably scribbled with black crayon or something. To so-and-so from God. Well, if it's bad, it wasn't from God. You got tricked. Don't open that package. That came from the devil or somebody else. Jesus didn't say, I came that you might be sick. I came to bring death and lots of death to everyone. No, that's Halloween. He didn't say, I come that you might be afraid. No. He gives us the gift of faith. He always said, fear not. He didn't say, I came so that you might be broke and lonely. Here's a gift that I have you. It is broke and lonely. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can I have more? John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. I'm talking like awesome, over-the-top life. Where provisions are met, needs are met, everything abundantly beyond that. Life abundance. Joy. That's the news of Christmas. Last thing, and we're going to close here. First of all, let's recap. Number one, God gave us His Word. Jesus gave us His Word. Number two, Jesus gave us His blood. He gave us His faith. He gave us ministers. Number five, He gave us hope. Number six, He gave us the Holy Ghost. Number seven, Jesus has given us Himself. He's given us Himself. Galatians 2:20, I referred to this earlier, but I'm going to read the whole scripture now. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the gift of all gifts. You can't get a better gift than Jesus Himself. Thank God for the gift of Jesus this Christmas. I want to sing a song. Kevin, if you and Johnny are still available, it'd be great to sing that song. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs. And I want us all to stand for a moment as we sing this song. Somebody would say, wait a second, that's not a Christmas song. Well, if you listen to the words, it really is. It really is a Christmas song. I love it. It goes like this. It goes, oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. Another verse goes like this. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. Really does love you tonight. Thank you. I want every head bowed and every eye closed as they just continue to play that. He loves you so much that He was willing to come and die on a cross. That was the first Christmas tree. It was a tree that He was nailed to. Because He knew we would need a Savior. And the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He loved you so much that He gave Jesus to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth and receiveth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants to give you eternal life. That's why He sent Jesus. Jesus didn't die for nothing. He says, please receive the gift. Please don't reject the gift that I've given you. And you may have rejected Jesus in the past. You may have even snapped it in half and said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Or that's just not me. I don't need Jesus. Yes, you do. And Jesus said, I'm still here. I'm still a gift that I want you to receive tonight. And if you've never received Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior and asked Him to forgive you of your sins, He died on the cross. By His blood, your sins are forgiven. But even a gift has to be received. So I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I'm going to pray with you and for you to receive Jesus tonight as the free gift that God has given to you. There may be someone else here, maybe you never understood the gift that Jesus is. And tonight it's been revealed to you what Jesus has done for you. I remember that day when it dawned on me what Jesus did for me. I couldn't help but respond. And I'm telling you, Jesus is calling for a response. And I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you haven't had a good Christmas in a long time because you've been running from God or you've run from Jesus. You've turned your back on Him and you've gone your own will, your own way. And you say, you know what? It's time to come back home to the Father. It's time to get back home where the Christmas is, where the celebration is. It's time to get back home where the forgiveness is. He has open arms. He has nothing but love for you tonight. There's no condemnation in Him. But He has nothing but open arms, and He wants to welcome you back home. And oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. We've all come short of the glory of God. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know tonight. If you died tonight, you don't know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven, that you would go to that place that Jesus has prepared for you. You don't know. You can know. He said, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved, not I hope I'm saved, but I shall be saved if you call on the name of the Lord. So if you're here tonight and you want me to pray with you and for you on any one of those invitations, maybe to make Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe to come back to God or be sure of your salvation, if you want me to pray with you or for you on any one of those invitations, just lift your hand right now and say, pray for me tonight. I want to receive the gift that Jesus has given me. Just raise it up high and wave it at me. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. We're going to open that gift tonight for you. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand up high and say, hey, pray for me. God's tugging on your heart. Jesus is tugging on your heart. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. It's time to come home. It's time to get back home. Anybody says, you know what? I want to get back home to the Father. Anyone else? Others, just lift your hand and say, hey, pray for me. Pray for me tonight. I want to come back home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you even think this gift might be for you, let me tell you something. It is. Just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to receive that tonight. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, let me tell you something. Jesus has a gift for you, and it's the best gift you'll ever receive. And you can pray a prayer tonight that will birth you into the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, it'll be the greatest night of your life. It'll be the best Christmas you've ever had. You'll be full of joy unspeakable and full of glory when Jesus comes into your life and into your home. If you lifted your hand, or you should have, I want you to please come up here right now, and I'm just going to pray with you and for you. If you lifted your hand, go ahead and come on up here. I'm going to pray with you and for you right now. Hallelujah. Don't be embarrassed. Come receive the gift that God has for you. Hallelujah. Go ahead and come on. If you lifted your hand, or you should have, come right here. Hallelujah. Woo, God is speaking to you tonight. God's speaking to you tonight. You're coming back home. Yes. Come back home. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. She's just repenting in her heart. God's touching her and changing her. Hallelujah. Now that you've confessed that, let me tell you something. You will not have a problem with that anymore. You are free. In the name of Jesus, you are free from that. You are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you're not going to have problems with that anymore. Hallelujah. That's the gift of Jesus. He came to set you free, and His blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. I know you do. He knows you do. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray right now for my sister. I thank you for hearing her prayer, Lord. I thank you, God, you see her heart most of all, God. I thank you, you forgive her, God. There's no judgment, no condemnation, but you say, welcome home. Welcome back. Thank you, God, that what she hoped to gain, God, in the world, Lord, she'll gain multiple, many times over, Father God, as a result of your gift for her. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to pray this after me. Just say, Father God.
Father God.
And now let's all pray it together with her. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come to you right now.
I come to you right now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, forgive me.
Father, forgive me.
For the wrong that I have done.
For the wrong that I have done.
I receive. The free gift.
The free gift.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying on the cross for me.
For dying on the cross for me.
For shedding your blood for me.
For shedding your blood for me.
Say, God, set me free.
Set me free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
By your Holy Spirit.
By your Holy Spirit.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free. From this night forward.
From this night forward.
I am free.
I am free.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Come here. Come here. Hallelujah. There are others. There are others that are free. Hang on one second. Hang on one second. We want some folks that are going to go back, and you said you were filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Awesome. Wonderful. They're going to pray with you a little bit more, and if you have any other questions or anything else, they want to help you. Stay connected, and they're going to give you more information on how to do that, and we're going to give you a free booklet. It's going to bless you. And thank you. What was your name?
Sally.
Sally. Well, Sally, thank you so much for receiving the gift of Jesus tonight, and everyone here loves you. And everyone here wants to support you. Amen. Bless you, Sally. Hallelujah. Go ahead and go with David right here. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer online, hallelujah. Come see us. Just come be a part of what God is doing here. I just want to encourage you to do that. Come be a part of what God is doing here. And complete. God gave us the fivefold ministry gift for a reason. So you can be complete. So you can be perfect. And if you're watching at home, maybe you haven't gotten here. Come on. There's something to be said for coming to church. As Pastor Bob said earlier, when I entered the house of the Lord, then I understood. And there's a lot of understanding that truly does come when you just walk in the building. I can't explain it. It's a promise from God. It's another gift that He has given us. So let's give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.